Hello and welcome back to our second episode of the 3P Podcast Season 2. I am your host, Stephen Bonazzo, alongside with
Alex Castle
and Josh Bromowitz.
Well, we are in the middle or the heart of the NBA playoffs and, you know, a lot of the semifinals, but we've seen the winner of one of the semifinals already, the Miami Heat taking down the number one seed of the entire playoffs, the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean,
no surprise.
You know, Josh, I know you have a lot to say about this, and you might, with a little bragging, so I'll let you start off, you know, talk.
Thanks, Steve. So, yeah, no surprise with that series win. I get the Bucks were shorthanded in the last game, no Giannis, but even with Giannis, they won three games out of the five. They went 1-1, technically, with Giannis not on the court. So I guess you could say the Bucks played better without Giannis, just based on that math. But I knew the Heat were going to win that series. Now they just need to beat the winner of the Celtics or the Raptors. They're going to the finals one way or another, Steve. Jimmy Butler is just able to get to the line like crazy. Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Goran Dragic is stepping up big time. All-star Bam Adebayo. They're killing it on all sides of the floor. The Heat are a five seed, but they're playing like they're a number one. It's crazy.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, well, this is the first time, I believe, since 2014 that the Heat had made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and obviously
– LeBron, yeah, D-Wade.
Chris Bosh. But now they have this squad that – and I know I was talking last week, I gave my prediction, and I said the Celtics. But after watching this Heat team during this series against Milwaukee, and I know – like you said, Giannis got hurt. He was never truly 100%, but this Heat team was playing well. And that's the type of attitude that Jimmy Butler brings to a team. I mean, he brought in Chicago. He brought in Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota made it to the playoffs for the first time in how many years when his first season, well, his first and only season with Minnesota. And then last year with Philadelphia, they came up short. And, I mean, they have too many other stars. Like, he is a leader of this team. And you see guys like that. Tyler Hero, 20 years old and already going to be playing in an Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, LeBron was 22. Jordan was 26. Hero is not that status yet. Who knows? I mean, he can easily become a superstar in this league. I don't think he'll ever become a LeBron or a Michael Jordan. But I mean, this Heat team, they are playing well. Spoelstra, you got to give him credit. Some people might have thought he was just a good coach because he had LeBron or D-Wade. But now with the team, you know, listen, Jimmy Butler, I would love to have him on my team. But with the guys he has, I mean, he really has them playing well, and they are scary. And you know what? They're making me rethink my prediction that I said last week. Josh, you have something else to say?
Yeah, I just want to go off about what you're saying about Jimmy Butler. I'm looking at the stats right now in last night's game. Jimmy Butler, how many shots do you think he took? The number one player, how many shots do you think your star player would take in a game five playoff game? Now,
typically, I would say at least like 20, without a doubt. What did he have, like 10, 12?
Six. He had six shots, 8 for 8 from the free throw line. He still had 17 points, but that's just the Heat. They had six guys in double figures. They're able to win, not just with Jimmy Butler being the leading scorer.
And then, Alex, I know you were kind of high on the Raptors. Now, after watching the Heat just destroy the Bucks in the series 4-1, and then now watching the Celtics take a one-game advantage now and winning 3-2, which, at you know, that stage of a series, that's tough. Are you still riding with Toronto? Are you going to switch to the Heat like Josh already is on, and then I'm slowly starting to hop on that train? What's your take?
Well, first, congratulations to the Heat. I mean, I really did not expect this series to go the way it did. Milwaukee only winning one game to me is just shocking. I mean, you know, it's Giannis. Everyone expected this guy, you know, he was – the road to glory was paved with his skill, with what he was doing with the Bucks. But we just learned that that wasn't the case And it doesn't shock me, honestly. I just don't see that killer instinct in him. I don't see him really communicating with the guys. I didn't see that in the series. I haven't seen that in the bubble with him. Not discrediting him for what he's done in the past, but it's all about now. Now, am I higher on the Heat because of this win? No, I'm not. I still think they're a great team. Don't get me wrong. Very good team. I think they have a really good shot to get to the finals. Probably the best in all honesty. But I'm still riding with the Raptors. I really like the Raptors. I really like what they've been doing. But it's concerning now with the series. You said with Boston. So I don't know. It's going to be very tough because I think Toronto, the fume could starting to be die out a little bit with them. And, you know, you got Tatum and Brown, these young guys who are really in this position to get there. So it'll be very interesting, but all in all, still going to ride with the Raptors. I still think they can pull through in the end. But on the other hand, a part of me is starting to root for Miami. I will admit it.
I think that's how a lot of people feel. And as you were saying before with Giannis, you know, everything seems to revolve around Giannis. So going into the playoffs, the Bucks are going to win if Giannis just takes over. And clearly he really didn't take over. He was injured. But to you saying, you know, it didn't really seem like he had that same drive that he had all season. I don't know if it's because the season ended abruptly and then now they're forced to go to this bubble from all the way from Milwaukee to Orlando and then stay in that bubble and then he got hurt. So who knows, all these different factors. Because I'll admit, I think Brooke Lopez was the guy who was really carrying the Bucks during that series. I mean, he was hitting threes, he was rebounding. I mean, he looked like he wanted to win. Not that Giannis didn't, not the other guys didn't, but
you saw it more with Brooke. Like he displayed it more. I agree.
Yeah.
He's a solid guy to have. I mean, Josh can attest to this as a Nets fan. Guy can do great things for you as a big man. He can.
Yeah. So now, you know, I have a couple questions with Giannis. So I guess we can start off with this. Kind of the more, not that it's easier to answer, but is he a Jordan or is he like a Pippen? You know, what category does he fall under? Is he the guy who's, you know, going to carry, or does he need someone else to help him? You know, what do we think about Giannis?
Before we get into this question, something interesting I want to point out. Isn't it kind of funny to think about how we started this show talking about Jordan and Pippen with the documentary with The Last Dance? Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about basketball again after everything that has happened, and they're still relevant in the conversation today. It's just crazy to see how you don't even need the documentary to talk about these two guys.
No, not at all. And so, it's the impact they had on just basketball and sports in general. I love the side note. You know, so I guess for me, listen, I think Giannis is a Jordan. I do. I think that, listen, he's going to need guys to help him in order to get to the next, not stage, but the next step, which is a championship. Because you see what he does during the regular season. He basically carries that team all year. And, I mean, he turned that franchise around into a franchise that was not necessarily bottom of the pack, but mid to the bottom of the pack, to now the number one seed, the number one team in the entire NBA. So he is that guy. However, you know, he kind of needs his little almost sidekick. And I don't think, like, Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, or Brooke Lopez are those guys. They're good guys to have on the team, but I think he's still missing one other guy. But this dude is a baller. I mean, reigning MVP. He's won Defensive Player of the Year this year. The MVP hasn't been announced yet, but he's in contention for it and, you know, probably is a favorite to win it. So That's my opinion. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this. Josh, you go.
I'll tell you what he's missing, Steve. He's missing the Jordan. He is a Pippen to his team. You would think with having the best record in the entire league, being last year's MVP, possibly this year's the defensive player of the year, being all defensive first team, you would think that they have enough on their team. They also have Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Eric Bledsoe. What else does this team need if Giannis is supposed to be the leader? Look, I'm not saying Giannis is not a top talent in the league. He definitely is. But I don't think he's that leader like Michael Jordan. He's a Scottie Pippen. He's the Robin to a Batman.
Hey, that's definitely interesting. And it's tough to tell because, again, we're not in the locker rooms with these guys. We can only see from watching the game every night, and especially with the bubble, that's tough to tell really what is going on. Alex, what do you have to think about this?
First of all, I think that point is very accurate. It's relevant to what I'm going to say, but you're right. We're not in the locker room. We see interviews after the games and stuff like that, but because it's the bubble, there's not any real press access that we have access to as consumers. So that's tough, but I have to agree with Josh. I do think Giannis is the Pippen. I mean, when you watch highlights of Jordan without Pippen, with the guys that he had on the team, with this talent that obviously didn't compare Jordan or Pippen, but it's talent that he was able to work with. You saw that he was whipping those guys into shape, that he was making sure that they were giving their 110%, and that he was creating the best team with what he had. And I just didn't see that with Giannis because, like Josh said, Giannis had enough. Bledsoe has been a solid guard in this league throughout his entire career, and he's even shown some great flashes with his career with the Bucks. Middleton has been performing pretty well, I'd say. He's had some great flashes in the bubble. But
he's an all-star,
yes, but I don't think he's also playing to his full potential either. But that's also due to injuries. The guy did have some injuries that he struggled with. I think Middleton could be better. Look, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but my point with Giannis being compared to Pippen is just because I don't see the same energy and instincts that Jordan had with leading a team. And I just see more of a guy who can bring you a very high level of talent, scoring the ball, defending the ball, and just an all-around great athlete, which is what I think of when I think of Pippen. And just going back, Josh, for the record, again, Middleton, yes, all-star, I do agree with that. Just for the record, I think he could be at a different level than what he's been at, but a lot of different factors have gone into that.
So Giannis, you know, he to your point, Alex, you know, he's got more talent than anyone, you could say. You know, he's got all the talent in the world, but is the leadership really there? And not that he doesn't, you know, he possesses leadership, but is it enough to bring them to the next level or any team? So that's definitely that, you know, that's an interesting point to discuss, not only with us, but just, I'm sure many NBA fans, across the country or even the world. But, in keeping with Giannis, so regardless of if he's a Jordan or a Pippen, you know, when his time is ready, he's going to be the number one free agent. He's going to be the guy teams want to go after. And, you know, it could be this offseason. It could be next offseason. Who knows? I believe he's still under contract for one more year. However, you know, he said he won't request a trade from Milwaukee. And technically, I think after this season, Milwaukee can offer him a Supermax contract. The only thing with that, though, is because of COVID and everything, now the salary cap is going to decrease by a lot. And so the super max that he probably would have gotten is not going to be the same amount now because everything that has happened and is currently going on. So if you're Giannis, and he said he won't request a trade, now, do we really trust what guys say in professional sports, especially the NBA? Personally, I say no, but we can get into that. But if you're Giannis, do you accept that Supermax contract from Milwaukee? It'll still be a lot. It'll still be a Supermax, but it's just not going to be the same. Or do you, you know, sign kind of 1 to 2 year deals like LeBron, you know, or like I think Anthony Davis. So I mean, Anthony Davis signed that super long extension, but like now he's signing short-term deals. So what do you do? And then wait to a point where you can sign a Supermax contract once the salary cap has kind of reset and gone back to normal. You know, what's the smartest thing for Giannis to do? What do you guys think he'll do? Alex, I know you have something to say, so let's hear it.
Well, before my question for you is, so you were saying that because of COVID, the salary cap obviously is not the same, and though he could be getting a lot of money, potentially not the same. Would that be the same? Would that only be specifically with the Milwaukee due to their other contracts, or would it be it'd be the same issue everywhere?
Yes.
So he'd be getting. So he'd essentially not be getting the deal he'd want with any team in the league.
Yeah, I think you know, before COVID, the Supermax was like, you know, probably pushing, you know, over 200. Now it might be, you know, a little under 200, which again is a lot of money, but his Supermax was going to surpass, I think it might have been the most richest contract in NBA history if he were to sign it after the season. But now because of COVID and the salary cap just reducing with, you know, now having to go in the bubble, there's not a lot of revenue, you know, no fans are allowed. So it's going to reduce no matter what. So it's just not going to be the same number.
Right.
So that's why I think that might play a big role into his decision of whether he's going to sign that or maybe stay with them for a year, see what they do next year, and then decide to sign a max contract with them or with another team. So yeah, I want to hear what you guys have to say. So Alex, I'll let you get back to it. So
now after talking to you about this and getting a better understanding with the whole outlook for the salary cap and whatnot, I actually think it would be best for him to take a 1 to 2 year deal like LeBron, and here's why. Giannis is a young superstar. You know, he's at the prime of his career right now. He's been with the same team since he's been drafted. Why not take a 1 to 2 year deal with a decent amount of money and experiment with a team like the Miami Heat? See if putting him in an environment like that gets him a ring. That way, he's not locked into some super big deal. He's winning a championship with a team during the pandemic. And once the salary cap resets, then he can get the deal he wants with either the Heat if he has a good experience with them or any team where he desires. But I just think with everything going on, it's very risky to commit to a deal like that. I mean, you look throughout the entire world of sports right now, athletes are, you know, inking deals, mega deals left and right. But I just think if you're at the point Giannis is at, with so much unpredictability in the world right now, don't sign your career away. Experiment a little, play the field a little bit, and then see what you can do.
Josh, what do you have to say about this?
Yeah, no, I once again agree with what Alex was saying. I don't really see him staying with Milwaukee that much longer. Maybe he'll push it for one more year with them and hope that they could sign someone else to join him. But if that's not the case, I don't see him being there much longer. I think he'll sign somewhere else in the offseason for like a 1 or 2 year deal, then sign a Supermax deal right after that. Because you would think that 2 years in a row being the first place seed and best record in the entire league, they would get past the second round, but no. So.
And here's the thing that I have, and I believe he should sign a 1 to 2 year deal too. Very small deal. The only thing why guys don't like signing that kind of contract in sports, especially football players, but even basketball players, is, you know, anything could happen within that year. Now, Giannis right now, you know, could get a supermax from Milwaukee, or a team would offer him a max contract right now. Like we said, it wouldn't be as much because everything going on. But say when stuff is back to normal, and for the most part back to normal, you know, gosh, if he were to get hurt. I mean, look in this series, he hurt his ankle. Luckily, you know, I don't know exactly to the degree how bad it is, but it seems like an injury that it kept him out. But across a season, you know, it wouldn't be that long term. But if he were to suffer a major injury, which I hope not, because, you know, he's not, you just don't like to see any injuries happen to any player, especially a guy like Giannis, who is the face, one of the faces of the NBA. He's just really fun to watch. You got to think, you know, that he's taking a risk by signing a 1 to 2 year deal, because if something were to happen and his play isn't the same, then he's not going to get the same, you know, offers that he would have at this point now. I'm sure something drastic were have to happen for that to happen, if that makes sense. But, you know, who knows? What if he just kind of loses his game a little bit, which I doubt. But again, I'm just throwing out anything that could be a factor of, you know, hurting his chances of getting a max contract. So I hope that didn't sound too confusing, but that's what I was thinking about in the back of my head, while also thinking that him signing a 1 to 2 year deal with either Milwaukee or another team is probably the smarter choice, but you got to think of everything else. And yeah, that was a lot of basketball we just talked about, you know, especially with Giannis and the Milwaukee, but I think we covered just about everything for now. You know, there's tons of basketball that's still to be played, like the Lakers, the Rockets series, the Nuggets and the Clippers. Those are two great series in the West.
A lot of good basketball left. You got to love it.
Oh, yeah. So we have plenty to talk basketball, but, I mean, we got to start talking about football, because tomorrow is kickoff, first game of the NFL regular season. The Houston Texans travel to Arrowhead Stadium to take on the reigning Super Bowl champions and Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not taking on Pat Mahomes. I mean, they are, but not just single-handedly. But, you know, they're going to have to go against Mahomes and the Chiefs. So, I mean, I'm a Bears fan. Josh, you're a Jets fan. Alex, you're a Giants fan. So none of our teams are playing tomorrow. But, I mean, we got to just be so happy, so excited that not only football is back, but we get a pretty good matchup to start the year. So, guys, have at it. Just let's talk football now.
I'm so excited for the season to be back. I think tomorrow is going to be a great game. Really, really excited for this matchup. Great matchup between these two teams in the playoffs. Both quarterbacks really came out and impressed everyone. And I'm expecting a good game tomorrow. Also, just curious in general to see what, you know, what the sport's going to be like without the fans. I mean, yeah, we've already seen it with baseball and hockey and basketball with the bubble, but there's just being in that stadium, like any other stadium, it's a unique atmosphere, like it is with every sport. So
actually, to your point, Castle, I believe the Chiefs are allowing a small percentage of fans.
Really?
Yes. So a lot of teams, I know a lot of teams like the Giants and Jets have said no. Chicago, the Bears recently requested for fans to be at, you know, the home opener in a couple of the games, but either the mayor or governor said no for now. They'll review it later to seeing later in the season, see how COVID is doing. But the Chiefs are allowing a small, I believe it's like 11,000 fans. I'm going to look up the.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, thank you for informing me of that. Well, that's great then. I mean, then it's going to be great to have that type of atmosphere with everything going on. It'll make things feel very normal again. But I'm very excited for the football season to be back. Can't wait to have all those games on Red Zone again on Sunday. Got a lot of good matchups this weekend, a lot of in-conference, in-division matchups. One of the games I'm very excited to see is the Cleveland-Baltimore game for a lot of different reasons. No, it's not because I want to see you guys have heard that story. He has been accused of.
I'd rather not.
Say that again?
I'd rather not have heard that story with Odell.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty ridiculous. But in all seriousness, I am curious to see what Odell is like this season. I mean, ever since he's left the Giants, I feel like he just hasn't been that same explosive guy that we drafted from LSU. I mean, I do think he's got a lot of potential, all hype aside from the catch and all that. I really do think the guy's got a lot of talent. But I don't know. I just haven't bought into Baker Mayfield. I haven't. But Steve,
yeah.
Yeah,
Baker's a tough one to figure out because he's got the talent, and it's not like his season – he had a really good rookie year, and the last year wasn't too good. And with all the weapons he has, he should be putting out some good numbers. But actually, to clarify, jumping back to the Chiefs, so they're allowing 22% of the stadium. So the stadium holds 76,000 fans around, and it'll be about 17,000 fans in attendance for tomorrow.
Okay.
All spaced
out. Wow, that's
a good amount.
Josh, what are your thoughts on that with the amount of people out in the stadium, the fact that they're doing it with the opener?
I think it's great if they're able to do it safely. Fans want sports. The players need fans in stadiums to hype them up, whatever. But I just want to touch back on the game itself. The last time the Texans and the Chiefs met, it was the divisional round, the AFC divisional series. Right. And the Texans jumped out to a 24-0 lead. And then the Chiefs obviously ended up winning that game, won the Super Bowl. So tomorrow, I believe, will be a very high-scoring game between the two high-explosive offenses. And, yes, I get the Texans don't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore, but they still have a bunch of weapons to help Deshaun Watson this season. And both quarterbacks are fresh off signing those Supermax deals that we were just talking about. So I'm sure they are going to perform very well, and it'll be a great treat for us fans to watch as the first football game of the season.
Yeah, and to your point with the extensions, I mean, Mahomes got like $500 million.
A deal of a lifetime.
Yeah, that is just ridiculous. But even Deshaun Watson walked away with a $160 million contract. I would take that in a heartbeat too, so may not be as much as Mahomes, but – he's still walking away with a lot. And a lot of guys have been signing extensions over the past week. You know, Deshaun Watson's ex-teammate, DeAndre Hopkins, signing that deal, 2 years, $54 million, $54.5 million on top of the contract he was already under. So he's locked up with Arizona. I know Kareem Hunt signed an extension. I didn't think he was going to sign one.
Jalen Ramsey just signed one.
Oh, yeah, that was big today.
Let's talk about that deal for a minute. I personally do not think he's worth that amount of money.
$105 million?
I just don't. I mean, yes, when the Jacksonville was on their playoff run, those few good seasons when he was, you know, yeah, he was great there. I do think he's a top 10 in the league. I won't deny that. But $105 million for a guy who does not have the best attitude, who just – I think he's still got some stuff he needs to figure out with his game, with his persona off the field. I wouldn't have inked him for a deal like that.
Well, I did see something interesting because when I first saw the news, I saw it this morning. That's what I woke up to. And I said, wow, that is good for the Rams locking him up because he is a top corner in this league and he's still so young. But $105 million, that is a hefty price. But you see all these receivers, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell just a few years ago, that are getting, you know, these large extensions. You know, so they're paying those guys, the receivers, but you got to pay the guys who have to cover them.
That's very fair. Very fair point.
You know, so a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who he doesn't have the best attitude, I think being teammates with Aaron Donald, who's such a good leader and just presence on that team. I mean, he's not only is he just a force to be reckoned with on the field, he's also just such a leader. And I mean, not only on that D-line, but just that defense and the team in general. So I think having a guy like him definitely helps the locker room and helps guys who, you know, their attitudes change a little bit. Listen, Jalen Ramsey's still going to kind of have that cockiness to him, which in some right, in some aspect, he should, because he's a very good football player. But you got to tone it down a little bit. But listen, he does his job well. And, you know, 105, listen, you know, they just want to make these guys the highest paid at that position, or that's what the guys want. Tre'Davious White, you know, he, when he signed his extension just a few days ago with Buffalo, that made him the highest corner. Now, just a couple of days later, Jalen Ramsey's the highest. And same thing with when Aaron Donald became the highest paid defensive player in the league. Then the Bears got Khalil Mack and signed him to that contract, making him the highest paid defensive player in the league. So you see the quarterbacks, you just see it everywhere. It's almost a competition to make them the highest paid. But yeah, I mean, it's just crazy how many extensions have gotten done. But hopefully that'll be good for the season to make these guys go out and play hard and really play and show them that they're worth that contract.
Yeah. Is he worth that money? Absolutely not. But is it the right decision? I think yes. Because like you were set, I think it was you, Steve, who was saying like you're paying these receivers all this money. You got to pay someone to guard them. And that's what they're doing. You look at Jalen Ramsey, you look at his stats from last year, they're down and they're not that impressive. But you think about who he's guarding each week, he's shutting down the top receivers. So he doesn't have that many stats because he's on an island. It's basically like Revis Island out there, but Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Shout out to Darrell Revis.
Oh, God.
Old school Jet.
Had to throw that one out there.
But, you know, I guess we could talk about a little bit of our teams, you know, some of the games. So we kind of, you know, Castle, you were talking earlier about the Browns and Ravens. That'll be a good matchup. But I want to hear, you know, Giants-Steelers, Monday night football, the first Monday night game of the year. I think that'll be a pretty good game. The Jets, who the Jets have? The Dolphins?
No, we got the Bills.
That's right, the Bills.
And Buffalo.
So that'd be a pretty good matchup. And then the Bears.
I'm very excited to see this Buffalo team. They I believe they re-signed this way. They just re-signed
him. Yeah, they just re-signed him.
They just re-signed him. Huge piece of that defense. They got Stephon Diggs now going deep for Josh Allen. Very, very interested to see. And I'm also interested to see how the Jets honestly pan out with a couple of their guys.
Agree. You know, how will – sorry.
Look, as a – no, you're good. As a Jet fan, like, I'm very excited to see, once again, a Darnold versus Allen matchup because of all the criticism that all the quarterbacks from that draft class have been getting besides Lamar Jackson. No real quarterback has stood out that much. Baker, a lot of people are saying he's a bust at one. And then the Jets took Darnold two picks later at number three after the Giants obviously took Saquon. Sorry, Alex. I know you're very excited when you hear his name. But no, every time Sam Darnold and Josh Allen match up, it definitely intrigues the fans because we want to see who outshines the other. So I am excited to see those two go at it.
Now I'm interested to see how Le'Veon Bell is going to do. He was a big signing last year. Listen, he didn't do awful, but it definitely wasn't the performance anyone expected or that he's shown. I mean, in his couple seasons with Pittsburgh, he put up some crazy numbers, not only rushing but also receiving out of the backfield. And then last year, you know, goes into a whole new team, different system, different coach. Some, you know, Adam Gase too. Not too many people too fond of him, not including Josh. So I'm interested to see how he does. And now he's got a guy like Frank Gore, another veteran in the backfield, which I think will help him. A lot of people think, well, you know, who knows, maybe Frank Gore take over, which it won't happen, even though they say Frank Gore looks good. But they say that every year. I mean, the dude's like 86 years old, still playing.
Father time over here.
Exactly. Yeah, son just
son's in college. You see
yeah.
that?
Yeah, he's playing college football. First game last weekend. So, and he and Frank Gore still playing in the NFL. So, I mean, I don't know who he probably still be playing. What if his son gets drafted and you know, when he gets to the league? So, I think that'll be definitely be a good game. And to see, you know, who's going to become the alpha dog of the AFC East, or if the Patriots are going to keep that, status quo. You know, kind of they've been winning the division for how many years with Brady, but now without Brady and Cam Newton leading them, so that would be interesting. And then my Bears, we play Detroit. I think that will be an interesting game with Mitch getting the start.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Steve?
Listen, you know, a lot of people like Ryan Pace is an idiot. Like, why would you trade Nick Foles just to bench him? Listen, Mitch is still only like 26. He's very athletic. He has talent. You just now got to bring out the football IQ out of him and actually have him produce. And he, this offseason, he got surgery on his shoulder to make him healthy. He was getting coached by this, like, kind of quarterback guru who I believe kind of coached Mahomes one summer during the offseason. Might have been after Mahomes' rookie season. So, you know, this guy has coached some QBs who have done very well in this league. And then he just improved his footwork, and then they said his accuracy is better. So, listen, obviously they're going to want – the media is going to want you to hear that. Coach is going to want to say that. You know, they're not going to say, oh, Mitch looks awful. Of course they're not going to say that. But from videos I've seen, he does look like a different player. So, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping – listen, he doesn't have to throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, no picks. But if he can just show, like, that the offense can just constantly drive down the field, put up some decent amount of points, and, you know, actually have an identity, which they did not have at all last season, then that's fine with me. And then, Alex, I know to your point – or not to your point, but for you being a Giants fan and the game Monday night, you know, Danny Dimes had a heck of a season, rookie season last year, and you're going to want to see him – do just as well into sophomore year, sophomore season, and really take charge of this team.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's added a lot of muscle this offseason. Judge has shown to be a really good coach for this team. He's produced a lot of – he's created this new toughness mentality, tough practices, tougher sessions with the guys, which is something you haven't seen with coaches in the past. So I'm really excited about that. Daniel Jones, I think, is going to have a better season. He's got a great relationship with Darius Slayton, who was a great pick for us. He's going to be a really great receiver. I think this is going to be a great season for him. If Shepard's healthy, he's going to play well. Golden Tate's going to have a nice season. If Ingram can actually catch the ball and learn how to play tight end, he could have a good season. But I will say, if Evan Ingram does not produce well again this season, the Giants should really look into getting rid of him. And then on the defensive side, very happy that we got Marcus Golden back coming off the edge for us. He led the team in sacks last year, and we waited until the end to really sign him. So I'm happy about that. But, yeah, I mean, team's looking good. Only thing I'm concerned about is that defense. I mean, the Steelers got a very nice defense. Watt is an insane middle linebacker, outside linebacker. Bush is also really good as well. They got Minka Fitzpatrick. So it's going to be tough. I mean, Monday Night Football, you know, that always adds a lot of pressure to it. But I'm just really looking forward to watching the boys in blue again. So should be a good game.
Yeah, I think just in general, I think every fan and player and coach is just looking forward to this season, just of how 2020 has gone and what we're still going through that. You know, football is just like, I mean, everyone just loves football, looks forward to the football season, just brings people together in a way that a lot of other sports or other just things in general doesn't. I mean, you think about fantasy football. I know I'm in three fantasy football leagues. You know, I don't do fantasy for another sport or, you know, with music or anything like that. There's nothing like that. Where people now, I know Dan Orlovsky was saying on either NFL Live or, you know, one of the shows on ESPN in the morning, and he was saying with no fans being allowed in the stadium, like, they're going to have to get creative. And whether they watch it with their family and friends and make a little, like, tailgate at home out of it, or if they have a man cave and deck, you know, deck out in their team's gear, you know, so just stuff like that, that a lot of other sports doesn't, not that it doesn't bring or doesn't, I can't think of the word, just football has that different feel.
It creates a lot of unity.
It does. It does. So I think just that we're back to football and we can say, you know, tomorrow when we wake up and there's going to be football on, it's going to feel good. So I'm looking forward to it. And especially as Yankees fans, we need that because they have struggled, and that struggled is an understatement. And I think I need a break from talking about it. Josh or Alex, do you guys have any like thing to say about the Yankees? Because I'm shocked.
The fact that I have to tolerate a Mets fan, you know, bragging about beating us in the Subway Series during this time is truly, truly devastating. But yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't know if it's just like something behind the scenes that the fans don't know about. I don't know if the injury bug is just catching up with them. I really don't know what it is. I mean, in the beginning, when baseball resumed for a good amount of time, the Yankees were looking like the best team in baseball. I mean, they were just looking incredible. I mean, they were hitting the ball well. The bullpen was in full swing. They were just looking like a really solid team. And now they're losing to the Mets in extra innings. I mean, look, no disrespect to the Mets. I respect the organization. I think Pete Alonso is a fantastic player, and I'm very happy that they have him. But my point is the Yankees should not be losing to them. It's a slump that Boone's got to wake up his guys and say, hey, you know, knock, knock, knock. Is anyone home? Because we need to pick up the slack. I mean, I know. Are they still in second place? Where are they currently in the standings? Are they still behind Oakland?
I know they had the second divisional spot because the Rays had that number one seed. But after losing, they might be tied with the Blue Jays now, you know.
That's just, yeah.
Oh, they're worse than the Blue Jays now.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. The Blue Jays, so the Rays are 28-15. The Blue Jays are 24-18. And then the Yankees are 21-21. They started 16-6 and have now gone 5-16, right?
Yep.
Or 5-5. Whatever it is, I can't do math right now. But, I mean, just – and Garrett Cole started – listen, I'm not going to blame it all on Garrett Cole because he started out pitching excellent, 4-0. You know, his ERA was, you know, around a 3, sometimes it dropped below a 3. But now he's 4-3, and I think it was like a 3.63 ERA. And – I mean, and he against Baltimore, he struck out like he struck out 8 of the first 9 batters. But then the Yankees could not score any runs, even though they had chances to. And then he just kind of, as the game went on and got a little more fatigued, the Orioles started getting hits, and then, you know, home runs. And home runs has been a weakness of Garrett Cole. He's allowed, I think, one of the most amount of home runs out of any American League pitcher. And then the Orioles just end up winning the game. So if we can't beat teams like the Orioles or the Blue Jays, who usually, I mean, especially last year, the Yankees dominated the Orioles, especially Glaber. And now that we're like basically getting swept by Baltimore, and then can't even beat the Rays at all. Listen, the Rays are a very good team, but like they're not even like splitting the series. We're just like either getting swept or winning one game. And it's just, it's pathetic. That's what it is. It's pathetic. They either got to figure out the injury situation. Why are Judge, Stanton, guys like that constantly getting injured. You know, I don't know if it's their exercises they do, their stretching. Like, they got to figure that out. And then guys last year were stepping up, like Urshela. Guys like that, Mike Ford. Urshela is still doing good this year, but, like, Mike Ford hasn't really done that good. Now, Luke Voit has been phenomenal. But you need more than just one guy, especially during baseball. So, it is just – I'm almost just done with them just because – every time I turn on the game, you know, they may be winning, and then a couple innings later, they blow it. So it's a tough time when it shouldn't be to be a Yankees fan. And Josh, yeah, more to add?
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the team we have right now. The stars that we think were supposed to be stars are just terrible. Aroldis Chapman, one save, a 7.20 ERA. Gary Sanchez, a 1.25 batting average. Like, that, I'm speechless, Steve and Alex. This shouldn't be happening. We need more production from the guys that we expect to produce every day. We can't rely on the guys who are the no-names to step up like they did last year. But we need our big bats and our key bullpen arms to step up. Ottavino last night was atrocious, giving up, what, 6 earned runs, and then they ended up losing by 5-6 runs to Toronto.
Yep.
Oh, it was 2 nights ago, yeah. Terrible. It's embarrassing.
And, you know, you could say, or even the Yankees, they may say, well, this season, you know, we didn't have a full spring training, and then well, they had spring training, then it just got stopped because of COVID, and then they weren't really practicing or training, or they might have just been doing self-training, and then they resumed baseball activities. But now they're saying, you know, their bodies are just not used to this. They're used to now playing almost a full season, because September is like the last month of the regular season, you know, basically be done the full season. Now they're just they haven't played that many games, but their bodies are just not adjusted to it. But you can't say that because the Dodgers are 31-12. You know, guys like Mookie Betts is just really doing well. He's batting .310, 13 home runs, 32 RBIs. So the Dodgers, who were also preseason, you know, World Series favorites to basically play the Yankees, they have, you know, kind of met their standards and where they're supposed to be, but the Yankees haven't. And it's just, there really is no excuse. You can't blame pitching. You really can't blame injuries. You can blame injuries to a certain extent, but every team's going to have injuries. And I think the Yankees just, maybe they're just not interested in the season anymore, which is a shame to say. Maybe they never really felt like it was a real season or what. But it doesn't matter. Their job is to play baseball. They get paid to play, and they get paid to win. And when they're not doing that, not only is it upsetting to the fans, but it should be upsetting for themselves, the coaches and the front office, and really just an organization in general, especially for a franchise like the Yankees, because
one of the most respectable in the game.
Exactly. This would not fly if George Steinbrenner was still alive.
Absolutely not.
So it'll be interesting to see how the season ends for them, what is made. I know they supposedly, Brian Cashman said they want to have a meeting with all the players. We don't know what will happen until we get reports or whatever. So, but I believe that's all the time we have today. We definitely discussed a lot of good stuff we talked about with basketball, football, and baseball. I mean, the baseball wasn't too good, but it's good information and good stuff to discuss.
It's nice that we're all Yankees fans and we can all vent together.
Exactly. Yeah, this was more of a venting session rather, you know, just talking about it. But yeah, so all the time we have for today, we look forward to meeting up next week and discussing more news. You know, by then, NFL Week 1 will be in the book, so we can talk about that. And also make sure to follow up on our social media page, 3P Podcast. And then definitely just tune into the episodes. And we're going to keep producing, so keep listening. I've been your host, Stephen Benazzo, and I've been joined with
Alex Castle
and Josh Fromowitz.
And thanks again for listening, and take care.